Blog Talk Radio.
Since the day that Adam fell, sin is where it started, sin is why it fell. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell, I remember how it fell. I can hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice of call, and beckons me to follow where I had never gone. Though my heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in a court I found the doorway, and the hand that held the key. When the chains fell at my feet, for the first time I could see. Of the prison I was in, like a living nightmare, burning deep within. I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. See, once I taste the freedom, and the chains could bind no more, the first day we wings like an eagle, I can soar.
All the rest of you guys to be with me here at Harvest Black Church and Harvest Lust Studios here in the city of Dallas. We usually kind of start off with a number of announcements as we get ready to go forth and hear what the Word of God has to say on this Tuesday night testimony. At this point in time, I always open up the line for those who want to testify as we get ready to kick off the service and hear what the Word of God has. As always, it's coming from the Kingdom of God. And I really want to kind of get the woman of God could kind of start off this testimony as I get her time to come into the studio. And that's not only than co-pastor. Well, I keep saying co-pastor, but the Lord said she's a pastor. That's Pastor Patty Ellis, and I am Apostle Charles Ellis here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios here in the city of Dallas. I pray that everything is coming through clear. We're always having some of the dysfunctionals with the system to the point that the enemy is always trying to get in to stop the good thing that God is doing. But as the Lord God says, there's no weapon, form, created, designed, or engineered against the work of the kingdom shall prosper. Father God, we bless you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We start up this service on tonight. Father God, we ask you for your anointing, your grace, your mercy. We ask you, Father God, to look over the word, Father God, even as we speak from these mouths of clay, as we continue to be that conduit that you call us to be in the season in which we're in. Father God, your word is declared, decreed according to the kingdom of God, that even as we begin to speak the word and we begin to transform and change that what you want us to be. In other words, a metamorphosis. That come out of the cocoon to be able to speak that what you designed and engineered us to be that's coming from the kingdom of God. We must speak to the mouth of this priest in the name of Jesus. As I go forth, Father God, and illustrate that what you have given me on today, that I may realize and understand that you're God, and beside you there's no other. Father God, I decree the word, and I declare it, I call the word is already going forth, and it shall not and it will not come back void. But I believe according to the kingdom of God, it's already prospered and done all it's designed to do. I want to bring an announcement to you before we get started. And that's one of the announcers going to be a woman, Diva Curry. And I always tell you about the man of God, Dr. J.C. Matthews, over at J.C. Matthews Ministry out there at 3001 Irving Boulevard out in the city of Irving, Texas. But this woman of God, Diva Curry, called God's Restoration Ministries. So those of you who have kind of came to the website and looked at some of my social network postings, we talked about the work that she's doing in the area of deliverance. Now, on today, we're going to be dealing with the area of dealing with ceremonial laws. But the word of God has shifted. And I tell you, sometimes when you come before God, you will build up what you want to build up. And you will work all night and you'll work through the midnight hour studying that word. But when God tells you there's a word that's coming from the kingdom of God, baby, you better learn how to shift. And when he means a shift, he means a power shift. That when God is illustrating you about the pipeline to you, the things he needs to speak for those who are listening, you got to learn how to move according to the Spirit of God and hear what he's saying according to the kingdom of God. As I said before, I want to get the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, on the line with us. And we're going to start off with testimonies, and we're going to have testimonies. We're going to open up the line for a few testimonies. And we're going to get, look, we know you guys got a lot to say. But look, you know, we said don't eat all the pie. So we're going to have area code 972-821. I want to give the rest of the prefix of co-pastor Patty Ellis to come in. And she's going to start us out with our testimonies on tonight. And we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say. We're going to follow up with a testimony of myself. And I've got the man of God, Bishop, out of Illinois. And I want him to be able to be with us on tonight because he's always doing a great work. And it's coming from the kingdom of God. You know, I almost called him Bishop Raymond Johnson. But that's not Bishop Raymond Johnson. That's the man of God out of Illinois. Most of you will know him, and you'll get to know him here in just a minute because he introduces himself as he comes on a little bit about his ministry. And I'm quite sure he got some testimonies to give you also about what's going on. Let's try to take no more than 2 minutes on the testimonies. Let's give them brief. Let's hear what the Word of God has to say. Let's move forward. Today's study, we're going to be over in the book of Psalm 73. For whatever God gave me this illustration, this revelation to talk about tonight, we're going to deal with that. First of all, we got Pastor Patty Ellis in the studio. It's a blessing. I'm telling you, it's a blessing just to have her on the line. You just don't know. It's a blessing to have her on the line. So we're going to let her kick off the testimonies tonight. As we said, ladies first. Co-Pastor Patty Ellis. Pastor Patty Ellis. If I say co-pastor one more time, you better do something to me. Come on, woman of God.
It's just a pleasure to be on tonight and just be able to hear the word of God and then just listen to the testimonies because they're so inspirational. Because I was listening to or actually reading something that our nephew posted today on Facebook, and it just reminded me so much of what we all go through. He was saying about being a light and being a light all the time, and that we really don't know what other people go through. That you really don't know unless somebody tells you what's going on in their life. And how what we say is so important to others. What comes out of our mouth as being followers of Christ, that you don't know how that impacts people, whether that's good or whether that's bad. But when we're followers of Christ, we're to be inspirational to others. We're supposed to be to support it. And what he was saying is about being a light in so much darkness that's in this world. But again, we don't know what people are going through. I was just thinking, I just went through a medical situation recently and was off work for a period of time and just returned back to work on Monday. And it is just, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful because I was able to receive that light that was shining through other people at the time that I was really was struggling and you know, just getting my healing and the way that God was working through people and through me. It's, you know, when you think that you're going through something tough, there's always a purpose. God always works in divine purpose in our lives. And I see the divine purpose that he was working through me. And it's not always about us. And I'm so grateful and so blessed and to have such a supportive family, have such a supportive husband, children, when I was going through a difficult time.
Amen.
And God just continually just touches us. And it's amazing to me. It's when you're going through something tough, you tend to want to focus on yourself. But I was just so blessed to be able to go through a situation that was difficult and have so many people in my life. And so many people in my life that were spiritual warriors and praying for me and praying for our family. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'll never forget, you know, the people that were praying for me. That's, it's just such a blessing. And to be a light, I just want to encourage everybody else. When you're going through a tough situation, you know, it makes it, you know, draw to your knees more. And that's good. That's a good thing. But be a light to others. Because
Amen.
We all go through some tough times in our life. But just be a light all the time. Be conscious of what you say, what you do each and every day as followers of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I had to get the last A out of that to make sure she's finished, because you don't want to cut a woman of God off when she's doing the work and she's actually speaking. But, you know, she's, you know, and even as my testimony, and I'm going to be very brief because I really want to get into this word and hear what God is speaking on this afternoon. That, you know, during the course of the time, you know, when you're going through situations, you got things that you deal with. And, you know, sometimes the closest ones to you is not the ones you really can call on. I don't want to speak on this, but sometimes God will bring people to you. They got the right kind of anointing. They've been in the right kind of interceding for the right time when you're dealing with a circumstance or a situation. And I myself, I have seen with my own eyes the power of the enemy in terms of what he's done and trying to hinder the work that God has caused us to do here at Harvest New Life. And then I have seen the power of God move as we walk with obedience and we summons people who he told us to summons to pray on our behalf. And I'm telling you, the men and women God who prayed for us on our behalf did everything that God told them to do. And I believe at this point in time, they don't really know and don't know what they were doing, because God called them. And when they called on them and when we called on them, God done tremendous work through them. And one of the men of God who's about to come on the line with us here. For those who are coming on the line, I want to iterate once again, because everybody's not familiar with the system. The area code is actually 516-387-1220. This is Tuesday Night Testimony here at Harvest New Life Church and Harvest New Life Studios. And the woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis, just came off the line. And we're going to light up the one of the men of God who was in the session, in that powerful ring of the shifting, of the power shift of God, in terms of moving us to that paradigm level. And there's another level we got to go to. I believe that. But we know what kind of soldiers we need on our side when we're fighting the good fight of faith. And I'm telling you, one of those men of God was Bishop Robert Jones Jr., who actually, for those on the line, push that number one button on your phone, Bishop, and that's going to bring you right into the studio, and we're going to fire you up. We're going to let you give a testimony. We see you in the studio, and we're going to let you acknowledge some of the things that took place during that time for a brief second and what's going on during the course of time we was moving to this level that God was calling us to. Now, that's going to be area code 618-292. And as you touch that number one button online, it's going to light you up. And that's all you have to do. It's nothing special you got to do. It's really elementary. If you hit all of you who are on the line, just hit that number one. And I'm telling you, that's going to get you right into the studio. And we're going to hear what the Word of God has to say to you about the work that you've done in your life, in our life. I have no other choice but to introduce my good friend, faithful friend, Bishop Robert Jones. Senior, and he's going to tell a little bit about himself and his ministry and some of the things here took place. I'll give him a little bit more freedom because he's new on the line. You guys have been on the line, y'all already know, so y'all know you can't eat all the pie. So we're going to give him a little leeway, and he's going to tell you about some of the incredible things that was taking place during the course of time that we was all battling with this demonic thing that was actually trying to attack us, and he came in at the rescue of God's word and helped us and prayed with us and saw us through what God was doing. Amen, Bishop.
Dear praise unto the Most High God. We just again thank the Lord for all that He has done and all that He has already done. And we give Him praise and we give Him glory. We thank you, Pastor Ellis, for this moment. And at this time, we come with thanksgiving for the Lord has been done great things in our life. And we've seen how the Lord has done and how the anointing began to destroy the yoke and the things that we prayed for. I'm just grateful tonight to know that the Lord is on our side. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give him a hand out there tonight. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And we thank the Lord for Sister Patty, Evangelist Patty Allison, that she's again strong in the Lord. How the enemy tried to destroy her mind, destroy her home, and all those things. But God is for real. When you really call upon the name of Jesus and believe and trust and have faith in Him, He will move in all kinds. He will just move in your life. So that's what happened that night. To one night we were just praying, and the Lord began to deal with many things in my mind and the pastor's mind, and we began to just bind and rebuke the enemy from no matter where you are. The Lord Jesus hear you, no matter, and He began to do things, and we just kept praying until we got a breakthrough, and we all did. Hey, you guys, you just begin to believe in the Lord. If somebody out there is going through something tonight, believe and trust the Lord, because the enemy is, he know his time is short. And men's and women's of God, children of God, we got to get on the main line with Him right now in the holy name of Jesus. So I'm just testifying tonight that God, the Lord is real. And we got to just line up with the Word. Keep lining up with the Word. Keep praying. Keep trusting. The most important thing in our lives, we have to continue to trust in the Lord, because Amen. He is on the main line for us. And all we have to do is call upon the name of Jesus. There's, as a songwriter say, there's something about that name. And I'm just here tonight. I'm just going to shorten this right now, because I get to talking and I might just keep going on. But I just want to let you know tonight, no devil from hell can stop the child of God.
Hallelujah.
No devil from hell, nothing, no demon, no nothing can stop a child of God if he is for real. And this is what we have to do. When we pray, you can't mess around, because if you mess around, the devil will get your mind. But we was able, hallelujah, we was able to pray, and we was able and kept on praying each and every day till we got that breakthrough. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. We got a breakthrough. Hallelujah. And And I just want to just say how great he is, how great the Lord is. And I want you to keep trusting in the Lord. And I'm just going to make a little testimony of what happened up on a Sunday, how we came through. The enemy was up on this young lady, and the church, and we began to pray, and the Lord began to do some things to that lady and brought her out. That was my sister-in-law. He brought her out and cleansed her. Hallelujah. He told me what to do. He said, the one that was praying for her should have done these things. And when he started letting me lay hands up on her, he began to purge her. And God heals for real. And that's what she, after she had got purged and all the things that happened in her life, she went and told my wife, hallelujah, she said, I told the other pastor that I wanted to come and be purged, but she wouldn't do it. But we got to do what the Lord says do. Amen? Hallelujah. And I'm just grateful tonight to hear Sister Ellis, the pastor, and all. I call her Pastor Ellis. But I'm glad to hear her sounding so strong in the Lord, so strong. And so I just want to leave this with you all. Be encouraged. When you're down and out, be encouraged and call upon the name of Jesus. No matter what you're going through, call upon the name of Jesus. That's what helped me. And I'm here tonight because of I call upon that name. When the enemy comes, I call upon that name. When I'm down and out, I call upon that name because that's the only name that's going to help me. God bless you tonight. God bless you tonight. Oh, in Jesus' name. I turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Amen. God bless you, man of God. We appreciate you being with us on tonight. Also, you know, no, this voice is not unfamiliar to you. You've had testimonies after testimonies, what the power of God has done in this life. You don't really need an introduction, but for those who are new on the line, I see a lot of y'all kind of coming in. We won't be able to get to a lot of you guys because of the distant numbers that we have, because they light up in the studio as zeros and they're just listening in. And so we want them to hear the power of God and the works he's done in the lives of people. But I know this man of God, he probably won't have to take a few minutes to say what he has to say, because they already know the power that runs through him and the anointing that God has done on his life. I heard the cancer situations. I heard all the different things he had talked about, and even his own life. So he needs no introduction. And this is Elder Kerry Williams out of Saginaw Mission with Kerry Williams Ministry. We're going to give him a few minutes, and we're going to move right to the program. We're going to hear what the Word of God has to say. Come on, Elder.
Amen. Praise the Lord, for he is greatly to be praised. God bless you tonight, Apostle Ellis, and we give honor to Pastor Ellis, Patty Ellis, and Bishop Jones, I believe it was, who just spoke. I enjoyed the testimonies. Amen. I just want to say very briefly, I've come to find out that, you know, when you're going through a storm, as long as you're seeking God's face and you're seeking God's guidance, God will surround you with anointed people to encourage you and to lift you up. You know, so how many know that you can be in the will of God and still be going through a wilderness?
Amen.
Because God allows us to go through these things, not because we're so bad, but because he wants us to know for sure that our only hope and our only way out is through him. You know, and I was thinking about these things and praying the day I had, you know, been dealing with a situation at my local church. You know, the enemy has attacked, and we've been going through some things. And I was today contemplating and praying about that. And then God sent a very anointed man of God, a friend of mine. He called me today, didn't know anything that was going on with me in the situation at our church. But he began to speak a word to me from God. And he let me know that God was bringing not only myself through this situation, but the church. And he gave us a word that was confirming that God is doing some elevating. God is doing some elevating, and he's doing some purging. So I tell people all the time in this day and age, it's not enough just to be in the church, but the church, God's spiritual Israel, has to be in each and every one of us. You know, we're living in an age where people are attracted more to the charisma and the gifts rather than the word and the spirit of God. But how many know that the only gift that saves, the only gift that really saves, that really works for us in our favor, is the gift of salvation. And that has to be consistently and constantly maintained individually and internally. And so we've got to keep that in mind. And when God sends, God surrounds you with anointed people, they will help lift you up. And that's exactly what happened today. This man of God called me, he gave me a great word, and he began to pray for me. And I'm telling you, by the time we were done and God moved over the phone, we were only on the phone about 20 minutes. But when God speaks, we better listen. And God is doing a lot of speaking. He's doing a lot of moving. He's shaking some bushes and some trees today. So for the people of God, especially everyone that's on here tonight, be encouraged no matter what you're going through. And especially if you're endeavoring to do a work for God, be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, because he has your back. He has you in his hand, and he has your back. And it's up to us to maintain that connection in order for God to continue to anoint and appoint and strengthen us. But like David said, you know, David had to encourage himself in the Lord. And you're going to find yourself in many situations where you have to encourage yourself. But if you're in the right place and you're in the right spirit, God will always send help. So be encouraged in that. That's why I'm so grateful to be a part of this ministry. I applaud the man of God, Apostle Ellis, and his wife, because they are literally laboring for souls. And that's what it's about these days. It's not about being entertained. It's not about jockeying for positions and things like that, but it's about living for the Lord and fulfilling the ministry of God by way of souls. God bless you tonight. Be strengthened and be encouraged in the Lord. Back in your hands, Pastor Ellis.
Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and get into this word on tonight. We thank the man of God. We thank it's his testimony night. This is a time to testify about the goodness of the Lord, what he's done for you in your life, and whatever God sees fit to be able to bring, whether it be a prophet, whether it be a priest before you, you got to hear the words. You know, a lot of times I have heard men of God like Bishop Roberts speak things, Bishop Raymond Johnson speak things, all the other apostles and all the other evangelists we so encouraged to be around to help us strengthen this ministry. But God uses a selected few that sometimes when you hear the word and it comes to you the first time, you don't hear like you're supposed to hear. The word of God say faith come by hearing, but hearing comes by the word of God. The word strengthens you. The word is the one that gets you positioned to overcome and overwhelm. When the enemy comes in, as the word of God declares, decrees like a flood. As I heard the man of God speak about this, I heard Apostle Walker speak about this, I heard Elder Carey talk about this. But I'm telling you, he's not the point of the one who has the power. He's like a roaring lion. I mean, he's just throwing a lot of things at you. But sometimes, if you hear very carefully in the midst of a situation or a word that's coming forth, God will warn you before the circumstance. He'll warn you before the different event is about to take place in your life. God will never get you in the middle of a situation and then try to save you. God will give you a warning before destruction. A lot of times we speak words in the lives of people, as these men of God have spoke words into my life. And in the midst of the battle, I had to learn how to rehash the word. The Bible says, once again, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word. You got to be able to hear the word. Because when you're in the midst of the battle, there's a whole lot of scrapnel that's going around you, and you can't quite hear the way you want to hear. That's why they're in the huddle or in a Vietnam War, whatever it may be, you're going through when gunfire is going off and the crowd is going off. This is why it takes a person who's in the position of leadership to learn how to practice by hearing. Because when you're in the midst of a fiery furnace and you're in the midst of a fiery run, you got to know how to obey the very words that came to you in the time you're in the midst of the battle. Some people say, it came back to my memory. Yes, it's going to come back to your memory. If you heard before, I don't believe, and I don't understand this for some particular reason, that you can get in the middle of a storm or in the middle of a game or in the middle of whatever it may be, and all of a sudden you forget the plan that God has for your life. You don't take the time to really hear what he's saying to you. Every little tool, every word, when you're on the field or playing sports, you're on the field, a CEO position, corporate, whatever it may be, every little thing pays a lot of respect to where you're going. You may not think it because you're too busy looking at the inspiration or the enthusiasm, but if you could really dig down and listen really deep in your spirit, you remember the words that was told to you before you even went into the battle, how you were supposed to defend yourself against the enemy. That's why Second Chronicles is one of the strongest defense modes in the Word of God, to talk about the enemy who comes against you. God is always going to send somebody to warn you about the defense that's trying to come against you and hinder you from doing the work that God called you to be or called you to do. When the word of God came to Jehoshaphat about as a great army coming against him, it was a warning how he needed to prepare himself for this great challenge is about to come against them. We read the word according to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. We know the word about the widow woman. The widow woman called on Elijah. Most of the people who read that story know that the woman of God who said, "Their servant, my husband was a man of God." We knew that was Obadiah. Obadiah was a man who cared for the prophets. We knew the story in 2 Kings 18. When that story happened, the fight happened up in Mount Carmel. I called it the Battle of Mount Carmel. Most of us saw it and called about that. But when he went down and shot down all of Jezebel's different false prophets, Elijah knew what was in him. But when he got to himself and he was all alone, God gave him simple directions. Go down there by the brook. Now this is what he came back. In that particular story, he was to go by the brook. But in this particular story about the widow woman, she received a set of instructions about the bondmen who were trying to take her son for ransom. The man of God came to her, gave a simple instruction. What do you have in your house? The reason most of us go through battles and we go through torment, because we forget what we have in our house. The little things that God can use in me in your life makes a very distinguished distinction of where we going, whether we move forward or whether we move backwards. We got to have a attentive ear to hear. The word of God says once again that he who has an ear, you got to understand what he said. It's not the physical ear. The word of God says come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. But it said that he who is as an ear, let them hear, or let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. In these two distinctive stories, before we get over to Psalm 73, we see that the woman cried out to the prophet, a man of God who she knew was able to intercede on her behalf because she knew the power that he had. When you're in the midst of a battle, man of God, you don't want to call on nobody's weak, feeble-minded, spaghetti-backed in the midst of a storm. You got to be able to get somebody that's strong. When you're going through a fiery storm, you got to have you some intercessors, and those are somebody going to intercede on your behalf. These things will never get up in your face if you allow yourself to listen very clearly about what the Spirit of the Lord has to say concerning the church, not the bricks and the mortar, but you. You are the representation of the Holy Spirit. When the word of God came to this woman of God about what do you have in your house, the woman of God said, "I ain't got about a little of this." And the big thing about this, when you really translate the story and you look about it, even the five foolish and the five wise, they knew that, see, when I get in the midst of a storm, when I get in the midst of my departure here and the king is about ready to come and I ain't got the kind of order that I need to take me over to see the bridegroom, then I'm in trouble. I can't borrow from a friend. When you're in the midst of a battle, don't look for nobody besides you. You got to look to God, who's author and the finisher of your faith. You got to look when God begins to give you instructions about who you need to help you come to whatever calamity you are in. Am I in there anywhere? God is trying to get you to see something in the season that you're in. It ain't your enemy. Your friends ain't your enemy. Am I there? It ain't your sister or your brother that's your enemy. It's the one who's called himself Satan. It's the one who called himself Beelzebub. That's the one who's trying to take you out. It's not the spirit. It's not the flesh that you're fighting against, because the word of God declared that and made it very clearly. For we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes the devil begin to knock on your door. You think it's the person's in front of you because you keep looking at the flesh. But hold on a second, man and woman of God. The world takes you right back to what it says in the book of Romans. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. You got to know how to rehash the word and what you have already heard before you even entered into the battle. You got to know that the man of God said you got to learn how to believe. In the midst of a calamity, in the midst of a destructive situation, and you don't know which way to go. Sometimes you got to bring out a break open your notes and get down on your knees and ask God to rehash, bring back to my memory that which you have promised me according to the word of God. You said I was designed, I was created and engineered to be a prophet before the nation. You said that you know and you have the thoughts and the plans for me that are good and not of evil. You gave me a expected future. You told me according to the word of God that you are God and you should not lie. And you're not a son of a man that you have to repent. And you've been giving me a commandment. You got to know how to rehash the word. That every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God is a foreign word. It's got to go forth. Am I God that I should lie? Or am I a son of any piece of a flesh that I got to repent? I've been given a command to bless. If you ain't got that kind of power in you, baby, you're going to be lost in the midst of the shuffle. And the devil will have the power to shift you like wheat. You got to know who you are and whose you are in the midst of a battle. If you can't stand the heat in the kitchen, you need to get out. And you need to try to find yourself on the sideline before you start trying to come to the front line. Because God can never shift you to an ultimate position in your life unless you really to be able to live up to the challenge. You got to know who you are and whose you are. When you're in the midst of things that's going on in your life, you know you can't handle it. The Bible said, begin to intercede on the behalf of God. David may have said, yeah, I sought the Lord and all that he had in store for me, but I sought his heart. But David needed to understand that was a rehashed word that came to him that even before he was on the throne. And we talk about the word of God that even when Saul was put on the throne, Saul had to look like a king, but God had already denounced Saul in the spirit. And he had lifted David up in the midst of his raggedy situation. David was still in his sheep clothes, but God had already lifted him up in the spirit. Baby, when you begin to move in the spirit, you got to understand and realize that no weapon formed, no weapon designed, created, or engineered against you should prosper. You got to know who you are and whose you are. The Bible declared that the word came to the woman of God over in 2 Kings chapter 4. They said the woman of God said, he said, go out. He gave us simple instructions. As a matter of fact, you look at verse 2. He said, what he said that Elijah said to her, what do you have? What shall I do for thee? Listen how he said it. Elijah said to her in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2, Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? He made himself to be at a mercy seat on her behalf. Tell me, what does I have in thy house? If you look at it in the King James Version, there's two question marks. This is why I said you can't never read through the word of God as if it's a fairy tale. The first time somebody comes to you and open expose themselves to you about their actual exposure, he said, what can I do for thee? That means he's at your will. Then a man of God with the power to move at any moment and any time. Baby, when somebody gives you a word before you go into the battle, you will never be conquered by the enemy, because the word of God said that even when the word of God goes forth, it shall not come back to you void, but it will accomplish and do all that and there. Baby, you got to have an ear to hear when you're in the midst of going into a storm. You got to know that you know that you know. The woman God said, all thy handmaid is, she put herself at his mercy. All our handmaid have in the house is a pot of oil. When you just got a little bit of thing that you need to hear from God in the midst of whatever calamity you are going through in your life. But you know, God will make that thing flow like it never flowed before. God say, I'll take the foolish things. The enemy may have a big name in terms of what you have down here, but I'm a God that said I should not lie. And I'm not a son of any man that I should have to repent. If I gave you a command and the commandment said that according to Jeremiah 29:11, I only honor the faults and the plans that I got for you. They are good and out of evil. Baby, you got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I heard the man of God say that you got to be able to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. You got to know that you know that you know that you got a God. Then when you come mess with me, I'm going to call my big brother on you. And I got a brother that ain't never lost a fight. He going to beat you down. And he going to make you look like you never should have came over here before. The word of God came to the man of God. And the word of God spoke to the prophet, to the woman of God. And she said, thy handmaid has nothing in thy house but a pot of oil. But then it goes over to the third voice. And I'm going to get out of here because I want to roll over to Psalm 73. And I want to hear your prophetic atmosphere about what God is speaking to David over in the midst of this very story. But I'm going to hold on here. And I'm going to look at 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to look at the fourth verse. And he said over in the fourth verse, in thy art that come that I should shut the door. Now, listen, let me come back to the third verse. I want to back up a little bit before I get to the third verse. Because when you look at the fourth verse, it really tells you how she obeyed the orders. And once she shut the door, the prophecy began because she was a woman of obedience. The same thing happened to you. You got to know how to close the door in your situation to believe that God has already handled it in the midst of whatever's going on in your life. The woman of God said in chapter 4, and she said in verse 3 in 2 Kings, "Thou said thy vile vessels all abroad to thy neighbors, and thy vile empty vessels, not none, but not just the empty vessels, vow not a few, mean get many as you can." Now, we'll look at that real good, because I know Pastor Ellis get the moving in here. And I want you to understand what I'm saying. Then she said, go borrow. The first thing that then he said, it's a forward progress, and if a word is already made in the position to do what God is designed to do. He said, go. And then you see the hypothesis there, or the parenthesis there. He said, borrow vessels abroad. And thy neighbors, even empty vessels, bow not just a few. I mean, I'm about to show you about the power of God for the little bit you got. If you understand the word, I'm about to tell you. And then it says in the fourth verse, that I said, and I come into the house. Then this is prophetic. This is a prophecy, right? And then shut the door upon thy and I, upon thee and thy son, and I shall pour out the oil. Look how he prophesied by what she said that she had, by what God said he going to give her. He said, shut the door on me and you and your son, and then begin to pour out the oil into the vessels. The woman of God began to do just what the prophet told her to do. And when you begin to obey the word of God, no matter how bad the situation is, God will perform the rest. Your job is to be obedient, no matter what kind of situation you're in. See, in the midst of battles, you got to know how to rehash the word. You got to bring back to memory that what God has told you. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God goes forth, and it shall not come out to me void. To do all that and therein, it's accomplishing word. We look at the book when it began to start in the book of John. When he said, in the beginning was, the word was with. Am I there? God is beginning to tell you and realize and understand that even in Genesis 1 and 26, you have been given dominion and the power, supremacy and authority over all different things on this earth. He comes right back in Luke 10 and 19 said, behold, I've given you. Then he said that when the enemy tried to come against you like a flood, he goes back to Ephesians 1, 21. He said, far above all princes and power and dominion, not only named in this world, but you got to understand that. You got to know how to rehash this word. Sometimes you get things from the lips of clay, and you believe the clay before you believe God. If you know how to get down on your knees, and you begin to talk to God about whatever it is in your life, God will begin to send you a savior. I believe this woman of God, when the bond man come to get her sons, that she called on this prophet because she seen the miracles of the prophet what he done in the lives that she, her husband was living, Obadiah. And God brought him through many great defeats. And so who other would she call on when she's going through a situation, the man coming to try to take something from you, the enemy trying to take your life. In this case, he was trying to take her son for a ransom. But she called on the right man. That was the man of God in the midst of whatever she was in. And when she called on him, she believed and she declared and decreed because she saw the miracles of what he'd done. It's something about when you see a man of God to know how to pray. A woman got to know how to pray. And you see them get through things. I ain't talking about somebody running around with a title and a name. I'm talking about somebody know how to get through. I'm talking about even when we look at this story, when we talk about Bishop Jones. I mean, the man interceded on our behalf. And it wasn't but a few months that I knew the man of God, but God called in the spirit, said, call that man of God in Illinois, and I'm going to show you what I can do. Call on him. In the midst of the severity of everything that was going on, nobody knew nothing. But I'm telling you, man and woman of God, you got to be careful who you open your door up to when you're going through calamities in your life, because some of the very doors you open are bringing more demons. As a man of God, I want to keep on telling them, but he said, Pastor Ellis, in the midst of you praying, you be careful what you bring into your house, because demons can attach themselves to stuff. You be careful about you. In other words, you be careful of demons bearing gifts. You watch what you bring in your house. You watch what people bring in your house as a monument or a mark. You watch who you receive from during this time of the season that God is about to elevate you to the point that you've never been elevated to before. And in the midst of he's elevating you because of my obedience, he's about to elevate me. I'm speaking a word on you, man of God, because what you've done for the priest and the prophet, God going to do double for you. I believe the word of God tells me, man of God, that there's no weapon formed against you, that everything that God has ever told you about your ministry and everything God is about to do for you in your life, the Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, nor envy ourselves because of the workers of iniquity. God said all that will be soon cut down like the withering grass. But it brings me, as I begin to shift gears from a story to dealing with the area of this widow woman, it takes me back over to the confirmation of the power and the revelation of the illumination of David when he looked at even in the situation that he was in, and he had to declaim before God that I got a clean heart. In Psalm 73, he said, truly God is the God of Israel. Let me rephrase that for who didn't catch it. For anybody who's coming in on the line today and everybody who's coming to this service tonight, your number to call in is area code 516-387-1220. Well, Pastor Allen, how did you do that? Because God is anointing my tongue to speak these things and do these things in the midst of my flow. And when you come into this studio, all you got to do is push your number one button here in the next 10 minutes, and I'm going to let you speak fully about what you heard. Don't take too long on my show, because I'll cut you off. If a word is already been preached, I don't need you to pre-preach anything up on this station. You come in and you be humble like you're supposed to be, and you hear what the word of God has to say. That's going to help you move forward in where you're going. As we look at Psalm 73 and we look at verse 1, he said, truly God is the God of Israel. Now, we ought to understand that Israel, that's God's first chosen. Rome, Paul talked about that in the book of Romans. My heart's and desire to Israel that they might be saved. We know how they was running after other gods under the trees. The same thing with us. Sometimes we schizophrenic, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, up and down, wishy-washy. Like the word of God tells in the book of James, let not a double-minded man think he would receive anything from God, but he'd be lost in all his ways. Well, David is making a point here, that I got to truly come to God with repentance. The Bible said that David saw so much in the world that he almost slipped to the point that he wanted to get with them in the world. But notice what David began to speak about here. Truly, God is the God of Israel, even as such are as a clean heart. Notice how he said it. Don't get ahead of me. Truly, God is. The word of God came to Moses, and he said, who should I say sent me? He said, you tell him that I am sent me. You look at the paraphrase, you think about what it is, it's saying the same thing. God is saying he's number uno. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's Jehovah Sintiku. He's all that and therein. God will always do things according to what it says in Isaiah 55 and 11. Every word that proceeds out of his mouth is a foreign word, even in the Old and New Testament. God will send nothing that will not come back void, because he said he already know the plans that he got for you, the good and the evil. If you can follow instructions, you will watch God knock down obstacles in your life, and you begin to see the power of God begin to overwhelm you in every area of your life. The Bible says that there's nothing before you that God don't already know, that he created you and designed you to do the work that he called you to do. David began to look at the word and say, truly God is a God of Israel, even to such are the clean heart. This is what he's saying. That David said, if God's a true God of Israel, and even those who ought to got the same kind of heart, then he's a true God to you too. God's not a God that he should lie, not a son of a man that he should have to repent. Now, I got that. What that was the Numbers 23:19-21, I've been given a command to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Well, David is telling the same thing here. It's so much when you just read the increments of God's word. We're so busy trying to read on down in the scripture and try to get ahead of the man of God and what he said, because you missed the revelation. The Bible is not a fairy tale. It's for you to be able to understand that the anointing is in the midst of the scripture. We can care less about the oratorical performance. But God is making a statement here to David. Truly, as he began to lift up God, truly God is the God of Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. The Bible says in Psalm 51, when David got in the midst of the situation with Bathsheba, he began to cry out to God when the prophet Nathan came and exposed him about the things he did with Bathsheba and the things he did to Uriah. David had to come down and repent and begin to understand these very same words that he's saying here is in Psalm 51. You better read it and understand what God is telling you. You got to understand when God began to parallel and shift things in your life and in your heart, he will show you things that's unparalleled to what a man can say in a commentary. The Holy Spirit is upon you. It leads you. You become the mouthpiece for the kingdom of God. You're no longer yourself. Did he say, I'll give you the words that you need to say, the time you need to say it? You got to know how to roll with the Holy Ghost. David begins to speak the word, as for me, my feet were almost gone. In my name of Jesus, my steps had well high slipped it. Look how he said that. For as for me, that he's talking about himself, because he's about to get caught up in something that looked more appealing to him from a physical standpoint of view. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well high slipped it. Don't get too high. How he said in the book of Galatians, never think of yourself as being more high than you ought to be. But at the same time, he didn't say you can't think high, just don't think more conceited, more sadity, more bougie than you think you are. You know, well, don't get yourself up on your back till you start feeling like, you know, your mama and say, you get too high now. You done got high, too high on your horse. You got to the point that now you can't obey nothing no more. You got a little props up under your belt. Now you done lost your way. The Bible said you got to come back to the rock and what God started you from. The word of God begins to declare a decree over in verse 3. He said, if I was envious at the foolishness when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Doesn't that sound like the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk pretty much saying the same thing. When you look at Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk began to complain about things. But Lord, why do all the wicked people got it on? God began to tell him, look right the vision. Sometimes you can get off ramp in the things you're supposed to do. This is why the word of God always come over here in Harvest New Life Church and through the man of God, Apostle Oscar Walker, that you got to learn how to stay in your lane. You run around everywhere else getting disqualified. God is trying to prove you and appoint you to move you up in areas you never moved before. And you know what? You still hanging around with those raggedy sheep down there. You still hanging with the raggedy ones. It's something about when God's trying to elevate you. You keep on hanging on to those strings. You keep receiving things from strings and things that's got division and divide about people that's in your life. How you going to run with one and you don't agree? How can two walk together if they agree? How can a whole flock of a team roll together if they agree? Sometimes you got to search your life. You got to find out if I'm walking with Bishop, and I'm not trying to put anybody down or say anything negative about anybody, but when you flow in the spirit, you got to understand if I'm walking with Pastor Patty, I'm walking with Apostle Walker, if I'm walking with Bishop Jones, if I'm walking with Bishop Raymond Johnson, all the other great men of God that surround me in the work that I'm doing, and if I got one in the group that's not going to act right and always talking about this man and that man, then I need to try to disclude myself from that. Because see, in a team-oriented position, that's going to be the man that's going to cause your position to fall or cause the play to fall. No, you ain't got nothing against him. Just get away from it. You got to learn that in your mind. The reason you're stopping things from moving in your life the way you need to move it, you keep hanging on to the strange things. And you know good and well the people who you associate with, they don't like you or don't deal with you. So be it. If that's where you want to go, let them go head on. But baby, let me tell you how I do it. You got to keep it moving. You got to keep on moving. And you got to go what God is telling you to do and how he's telling you to do it. You can't worry about what they think about you. David began to understand and realize in the midst of all these things he's saying, for I was envious at the foolishness when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there was no brand of death but the strength of firm. He says over the fifth verse, for they are not troubled. They are not troubled as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Look how he's saying how the wicked people think they got it going on, and they don't have the trouble that me and you have. Baby, let me tell you something. If you're a true man of God, and you're walking in the true prophetic anointing, in the apostolic anointing, baby, you're going to have some enemies. But you got to know how to cut them off at the gate, and you got to know how to keep on moving. Now, ain't nothing wrong with the word of God. Say, he did say pray for those who spitefully use you, but he didn't say you got to mingle in with them. Did I say something? I believe I said something. Why you want to come around somebody that dislike you? Why you want to be disassociated or associated with a group of people who bring strife into your ministry or into your private life? Ain't that something? But because of men's popularity and want to be known by other men, they'll eat the garbage of other men and what they said about others. See, this is one thing you got to understand. You ain't no garbage can. God calls you a priest, a king and a priest. In the book of Romans, over there, Romans 8, he said that you are sons of God. Not only you sons of God, you are heirs. You ought to think of yourself as being a little more high than you ought to think. The Bible said you need to check the gates in your life. You got some gates open. That's the reason things keep on coming at you. The reason you have so many problems in your life, because you keep leaving the gate open. Shut the gate and don't worry about it. What's going on? God said, if you fight against him, then you fight against me. So as we as being man and woman of God, sometimes you got to know how to push back. And you got to let God handle the situation. For it calls you to leave a gate open in your life. And did I say that right? Let me make it clear to you. If there's somebody in your life that's causing destruction, about to try to cause destruction about the group that you're in, you got to know how to disassemble yourself to hear what God is having to say. But you won't be around that was causing gates to be open. See, demons creep in all kind of ways. Sometimes when you're talking on the phone to somebody and they begin to say something about you, sometimes you got to hang that phone up. That stuff will get all up in your spirit. It'll take two or three weeks to get that stuff out your spirit. David begins to see in this fifth verse about how the wicked people seem to have it going on, just as the Bucca said. This is a testimony. What do you think about it? For the pride, compassion, compressed them about the chains of violence and it covered them in judgment. Look how he says this. Let me look at it in the Amplified version, the sixth verse, if we can get a little bit more clarity to that. It says, that's why they are worn arrogant. They are wear arrogant like a necklace. They wear their arrogance like a necklace. Proud, sadity, puffed up, thinking they're better than everybody else. While violence covered them like clothes. Let me read the seventh verse and Amplified version. Their eyes bulged out. Their eyes bulged out from eating so well. Here you are starving. Not in the physical, but he's talking about the spiritual. Sometimes you can get fat the right way with the right nutrition in the spirit. And sometimes you can get fat in the physical where everybody will see what's in you. Sometimes a lot of us will walk around, we're not fat, but we're healthy with the spirit. But if we begin to look in the opposite direction and look at the physical, you begin to be pulled out of the direction that God has called you to be in. I want to move a little further for the sake of time. I want to open up the lines here. The word of God says over here, when we read this, the illustration, I'm just going to shoot through it right quick. Looking over here in the fifth verse. I know I ain't got time to move here because I want to open up the lines for conversation. And I'm telling you, don't y'all get on trying to eat up all the pie. Give somebody time to talk. I want to make that clear. Therefore, the prayer compasses them about the chains of violence covered them like garments. Their eyes stand out in the fatness, and they have more than they have wished, more than their hearts could wish. That's greed. For they are corrupted. They speak wickedly concerning the oppressed or the speak of the lofty. So they're talking about us. We don't look like we got it going on in the physical, but we got it going on in the spirit. But the word of God goes on down here. Look at the 11th verse as you move past some things. And they will howl. He said, in they say, how does God know? Remember the word of God says about that in the scripture. It reminds my mind, and I'm going to think about it. How the man that God says over it. Matter of fact, if you take your Bibles, you read over it. I'm going to take you there. If you read over in the book of Psalms 12, Psalms 12 talks about how the men of God says they mouth of their own. They say what they wish. They say God don't know them. He don't see them. They can do all the wickedness they want. They don't believe because they're looking at the physical part. They don't know God see them in the spirit already. The Bible says over in the 12th verse of Psalm 73 and 12, he said, behold, they are as ungodly who prosper in the world. Look how he says, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart. Look how David began to say this. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. Now, if you think about that, that goes right back to the verse 1. If you're paying attention to what's going on, truly God is the God of Israel, even as to such are the clean heart. He says the very thing all over again. Pay attention to what God is saying. Notice the word when you speak it. It's like calling the play in the huddle. You got to know how to rehash the word, bring it into remembrance what God is saying during the course of time. He's speaking in whatever he's speaking through and whoever he's speaking through. The word of God says in verse 13, "Vel I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocent." Look at how he says, let's look on the 13th verse of the Amplified version. What is he saying, Pastor Ellis? Meanwhile, I've kept my heart pure. I come out pure. For no good reason I have washed my hands and stayed innocent for nothing. The Bible, she spoke the word of God, my mother. She always said, you got to be careful for nothing. And she said, do all things in prayer and supplication that the will of God in your life be known. Sometimes you guys got to stay clean because you need to be clean because you're a man of God. The Bible said he don't take a lamp, a light, and put it up under a bush. You're called to be a light of the world. You're called to be something more powerful than you can imagine even think of. The word of God speaks over in verse 14, and we're moving for time. He says, if all the days long I have been plagued and chastised every morning. I get into that, but that goes with a wicked man. That you worrying about what somebody else got and you getting up every morning, not satisfied what God's doing for you, and you worried about what the wicked people got. You chastising yourself. You want to get ahead. You want to do all these things and look good before men. And God says, why are you chastising yourself like that? For only I know the thoughts and the plans I got for you. They're good and not an evil. God is trying to show you something in the midst of this verse. The word of God says in verse 15, he said, if I say I will speak thou bold, I should offer against the generation of thy children. That's a prone word right there. We got to keep moving. When though I know that this was too painful or too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of the house of God. Then what King James Version said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood the end. He saw the end of what's going to happen to these people. You can live bold before God. You can have all the things that make you look good in the physical. The Bible says in verse 18, surely thou doest set them in a slippery place. Just stop by the semicolon and think about the slippery place. Whenever you come up through the world system, there's a slippery place. There's a slippery place. I'm going to get my tongue right here because I'm kind of slipping on that. There's a slippery place. Why is it a slippery place? Because a man puts you up, guess who's going to bring you down? The things have been going around the NFL about the young man Ezekiel Elliott. I pray for him. He just became one of the NFL top leading rushers, the MVP. Now he's caught with some kind of thing that he's exposing a girl's breast on some kind of St. Patrick's Day parade. See, the same people who praised Ezekiel all season long about how good he was is going to be the very ones that bring him to his demise. I'm telling you, man or woman, God, if men bring you up, they're going to bring you down. If God bring you up, then you cannot be denied. The Bible declares and decrees that these men of God, and I'm going to cut this story, these men of God, in a lifestyle they was living, will soon find out their demise. But you as men of man of God, you never let nobody see your demise because you want to walk right with God and you want to walk in the respect of God. That you be innocent and clean hands just to be clean and just keep them clean because you never know when God is getting ready to move in your life or bring somebody in life that need help. And that's what happened to me with the man of God. Okay, I'm not saying anybody's life wasn't, I'm not saying anybody other man of God's life wasn't clean, but God brought specific people into our lives in the course of time of this battle we was going in. For all those who are actually on the line tonight and want to open up to the woman of God first, and that's going to be Pastor Patty Ellis at Harvest New Life Church here at Harvest New Life Studios, my sweetheart, my lover, my everything, my Pooh Bear. I want to open her up and see what she has to say during the course of time, what's been going on here, and I'm going to let her go ahead and speak. Co-Pastor Patty, I'm going to call you Co-Pastor if you don't answer. I'm going to call you Pastor if you answer. And she's not answering. She's supposed to be there, but she's not answering. I mean, she's got a phone laying down and she's listening. So she got caught slipping. Okay. I'm going to leave her mic up there for a minute because I know she's got my daughter downstairs, but I'm going to go back over to the man of God. Now, y'all know I'm just playing my wife. So she's got my daughter down there, so she's doing some things. I'm going to bring the man of God back in here, Bishop Jones. And I know he's always got something to say. According to Kingdom of God, Bishop Jones, you are now present to say what's on your heart. You got a few minutes left in the studio. You have to say, man of God.
So my heart tonight is that we, as the ministers, pastors, whatever, so on our heart tonight, let us continue to, most of all, is love one another. Let us continue to lift each other up. And as we lift each other up, then we're going to be able to lift up the word of God and begin to lift up Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
These months and these years right now that we have, I believe the Spirit of God is telling us to not talk about one another, but just lift each other up, that we'll be able to lift up the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And be grateful that he has given us life and given us more abundantly. People need to know. They need to know about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let us continue to preach the word in season and out of season.
Hallelujah.
Because the Lord is soon to return. I just want to say God bless you and God keep you, Pastor Ellis, and your family. And we just wanted to continue to do what the Word of God tells us to do. Let us stay in the Word of God, and we cannot go wrong in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen, man of God. I'm a try her one more time. Let me see if she, I know she's probably in the Love Island studio on her side, and she's got Marcella with her. Pastor Patty? All right, well, we didn't try her again, and we're going to move forward. I know she's got a phone land somewhere in there, but I know she's on there. But let me bring the man of God in here, Elder Carey, and let's see what he's speaking. They're coming to the kingdom of God. Now, all of y'all else who's on the line, I know it's all you're not lit up. It's just you five are lit up on the line. Y'all 517 is lit up. But all those zeros we sit down here before I bring the man of God. He's in the studio now. But look, we want to thank y'all for our team. Look, every time you guys call in, some short, some, y'all always there. Y'all always light up. We give you time to come in. We know your systems of some of that part of the country is not as well as it should be because we bottleneck. A lot of y'all call me, email me, say the message kind of went in and went out. But look, we thank you guys for just going through the stuttering of the message and the hearing and then calling us back and letting us know what we'd be doing on this side. But Elder Carey, come on, man of God.
Hey, man, God bless you again, sir. And man, I was really enjoying the teaching, amen. And you know, when I look at this, I have to really understand and realize that I can fully identify with the psalmist here. You know, in this text, God is showing us a contrast between the tragedy of the wicked or the tragedy of the lifestyle of the wicked and the blessedness of actually trusting in God. And to be honest, if we were totally honest with ourselves, even especially while on this Christian walk, on this journey, you know, again, I often say the journey is not important, but the destination is. And if I'm honest with myself, I've been there. I've been there with what the psalmist is talking about. I've had those moments where I've had to ask God, well, how come the seemingly wicked are always prospering, and I'm struggling? Am I doing this in vain? But I love the answer that he gives when he gets down to verse 17. Verse 16, when I thought to have understood this, but it was too painful for me. And he said, and until I went into the sanctuary of God, there's nothing that can be compared to the peace of being in the presence of God. And that's what we want to maintain. There's nothing that could compare or even come close to being in the presence of God. When God begins to open your understanding of your things, I like to say when the bells and the whistles go off. You know, I was reminded, reading this earlier, I was reminded of a song that the old saints used to sing. Come on in the room. The lady would tell a story and then sing, come on in the room, Jesus, because Jesus is my doctor. He writes all my scripture and he gives me my portion. Jesus, come on in the room. When you're going through your trials and you have enough faith, you have enough determination to do everything you can to come into the presence of God, then you'll find safety, you'll find strength, you'll find peace, and you will find understanding. For somebody, whoever's going through the night, hold on to that. Grab his word, like Pastor Joe, like Pastor Ellis says. You know, you have to be able to regurgitate this word, refeast on it, repeat it in your mind. That's what meditation is about. Literally, get somewhere to yourself in your secret closet, in your war room, and you literally speak the word of God into your life. Speak the word of God until it's manifested. Speak God's presence into your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I praise God and I thank God for you again. I'm really enjoying this teaching tonight. God bless you, Pastor Ellis. Back in your hands.
Yeah, it just, you know, and the same thing that Bishop Jones said. For you to move in the presence and the power of the Spirit, you have to have love. All through the Bible, we see God, how he had to disassemble people who wasn't in position, but he also came back and restored people who were out of position. But during the course of time and the season, The word of God says, look, fret not thyself because of the evildoer. There are some people God got to pull away from you, but it's not for you as being a man or woman, God, to put your mouth against them. But you see, like he told Joseph, the battle ain't yours. They don't know what they're coming up against. Because when they fight you, they're not fighting. They're not fighting you. They're fighting God. And God's going to be your defender. And in the midst of them fighting against you, you got to see that, hey, look, Lord, look here. I can handle this. You know what I'm saying? I really can. Because this is a situation that's only in your control. And it's just amazing when we talk about the word of, you know, when you guys get a chance and you think about, as I heard Elder Carey said, I heard Bishop Apostle Oscar Walker said it, and he said that, I think we talked a little about it the other day. It was over in the book of Psalms 59 and over the 19th verse. But one of the things that got me, that with 20 and 21 is really kind of held, you know, it wasn't so much that God lifted up a standard, which he will do in the midst of the situation which you're in. It's not the flood of the enemy. It's the power of God to overshadow whatever it is you're going against. But he said something over in the 20th verse. He said that word, the Redeemer. And I thought about that. The Redeemer should come to Zion. Right in the midst of your troubles, Zion, the power, the presence, the Holy Spirit, the Holy One will be at your rescue. And in the midst, when he talked about in the 20th verse of Isaiah 59 and 20, he begins to think about the very power that he's given. He said, in that my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, my word which I have put. Look how he's assuring these guys. We read verse 19 and we say, oh, the lilies of the Lord coming like a swan and lift up. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but look at the 21st verse if you need to understand something. He's putting the power of words in their mouth. Words will not depart out of their mouth, nor out of the mouth. Look, man, they generate the seeds, nor out of the mouth of the seed. Man, that is powerful. That's the power of God. When he begins to orchestrate, design a plan for your life. And it's really more than what you can see. It really is. I'm gonna see if the woman of God is back. I know she said she was outside the studio in here, but I'm gonna see if co-pastor Patty Ellison is back in here. I'm gonna call. I ain't gonna keep calling her co-pastor Patty. I'm gonna see if she's in there, and I know she's down there somewhere. But I'm gonna put her in her hands and let her go have some last words to say before we get off the air here. All righty then. That was the third time. Amen. All righty then. Tell you what, we're going to push her out because I know she take care of some things down there with my daughter, and they're probably doing some homework or something because she was in by a teleconference line. But I want to make sure that we as men and women of God really understand and really orchestrate the plan of what God is saying for us and why he is really designed and engineered us to be really more than what we can see. But I always give opportunity to the newcomers online. I mean, you know, like Bishop. Bishop always got positive words to say. You know, he's got, I'm going to give him, I usually give it to Elder Carey, or I say it, but I'm going to give it to our guest tonight. That's going to be Bishop Jones. He's going to give us words, not, I ain't going to say no, Lord, forgive me, I ain't no inspiration. Give us, Lord, an exhortation, you know, some uplifting. As we go off the line out and pray us out. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before I begin to pray, I wanted to say what Paul said. I beseech you, brothers, that you become a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to say any more to that, but become a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. That we'll be able to be able, the Lord wants us to be a living sacrifice. And I know everyone that's hearing my voice tonight know what a sacrifice is. Mm-hmm. We have to begin to deny ourselves, deny the flesh, that we may become a living sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Father God, we are in heaven and heavenly places. I come at this time to give thanks unto you and asking, Father God, that you will continue to bless Pastor and his wife, Bless him, O Father God, in the holy name of Jesus. And bless Elder Curry, Father God, strengthen him and guide him in the way that you will have him to go. We know that you are going to begin to do some things in his life, Father God.
Amen.
But we just want to know tonight, Father God, that everyone that hear our voice tonight will begin to become a living sacrifice. We know that we are needed right now, Father God. There are many out there that needs the word, not in a form or fashion, but the real word, Father God. And we ask tonight that men and women and children and all that you have called tonight begin to do as you have called. Line up with the word of God. Line up with the word of truth tonight, that many will become and be saved and hear the truth, and the truth will set them free, Father God, in the holy name of Jesus. We thank you, O Father God, for the anointing, hallelujah, that will destroy the yoke, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. And God, and I ask, Father God, that you will bless Pastor Ellen and Elder Kerr and all those who is listening tonight, that they will hang on the word and meditate upon the word of what was preached tonight, what was preached tonight, in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise and give you glory. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Don't you have to get to join us on our work on the Thursday night. I'll be actually right back in the studio once again, right here at the Blog Talk Station. Of course, the number is always the same. 516-387-1220. Any more information, go to social network. What do we have on place? If you don't have an email, give it to me already. You can send your email to celis@gmail.com. Have your email so we can send all our information about the work we're doing here at Harvest Light Church. Once again, it's a pleasure for you to be with us tonight. Bishop Jones, Elder Carey. Of course, the beautiful woman of God, Pastor Patty Ellis. That's why I probably didn't get on because I kept going. But you guys take care, and we love, we thank you guys for being with us on tonight. God bless.
Lord God Almighty, and only one word comes to mind. There's only one.